You know, it's just like that in the church. When you find something as good as God, the revelation of who Jesus is and what the plan of salvation is, when you've been touched by God, all of a sudden you realize, if I really want this, it's going to cost me something. God's looking for a full-time commitment. He's not looking for part-time Christians. The frustrating thing is there are a lot of people who want to do God on a part-time basis and they don't get full-time satisfaction because they haven't made a commitment that will exceed any other commitment in their life. Whatever it takes, God, what do you want me to do? I will do that in order to obtain the kingdom of God. We can't rationalize how much or what we'll give up for God. God's saying it's all or nothing. It really is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, and here comes the part not a lot of people like. And his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. So God's saying you can struggle all you want, or you can just make a commitment to me, and I'll give you that satisfaction and completeness that you really want. Perhaps many others saw the pearl but didn't recognize its value. I have a stack of visitors' cards on my desk, and they all had a chance to purchase the pearl. They all saw something that they had never seen before. Was it that they didn't recognize the value, or was it that they weren't willing to pay the price? And I know so many who have been filled with the Holy Ghost, even baptized in Jesus' name, but then later on, they're still counting the cost as to whether or not they want to sell themselves into a love slavery with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are scriptures in the Old Testament that said when it got to a certain point, when the slave had taken care of all of the years of the indenture, what he would do is he'd go to the front door of his owner and he'd put his ear to the doorpost and then put an all through the ear saying, I am here, not because I have to, but because I want to. A love slave, if you will. I'm here not because I have to, not because, boy, if I don't, I'm never going to make it to heaven. It's because I love God more than anything else in my life. I bought into it a long time ago. I said to somebody yesterday after prayer, I said, you know what? This has never been hard for my wife and I because we made a total commitment from the first time we walked into church. And then it's become easy. The old saying is, it's easy to live for God hard, but it's hard to live for God easy. It's true. Everyone in this world is in the market to buy stuff, things. A merchant man. We're all merchant men. But most will overlook the value of God and that possessing Jesus will bring happiness and power and peace and eternal life like nothing else can. Every time we come to church, the pearl of great price is on display. Another chance to sell out. Another chance to be happy, completely satisfied. Hallelujah. I hate it when there's frustrated Christians because they haven't made a full-time commitment. Amen. Some pastors would never preach a message like this because they don't want to disturb the lives of people who are sitting on the pew, but I'm telling you, if you make a full-time commitment to God, you will be more satisfied than you ever have. Don't hold anything back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're satisfied with little or you're satisfied with much. It really doesn't matter because you got the pearl of great price. You got the prize, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Yet so many people are waiting for a better bargain. You know, this church doesn't require. It's not about church. It's about what the Bible says. The Bible gives us the price that we have to buy. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. Wouldn't it be horrible like in Matthew 7? We come to that day and you say, Lord, Lord, haven't we done many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me. You know what? You just didn't sell out. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Hallelujah. I count him as a wise man that builds his house upon a rock. Glory to God. I don't want to buy into emptiness or something that is less than full truth. Most people only get a brief look at the pearl, and then they have to decide. I really believe with all of my heart, I've taught hundreds of Bible studies all over, and I recognize I can see people that God is dealing with, and God opens a window of opportunity. They know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. They're feeling something. God is in their thoughts, in their mind. But there's this window of opportunity, and if they don't respond by saying, you know what, I want that, the window closes. And then they have no desire for the things of God at all. That's a scary thing, folks. King Agrippa said, almost thou hast persuaded me to become a Christian. You know? Governor Felix said, at a more convenient season. But you know, I don't see any record in the book that there was a more convenient season or King Agrippa was totally convinced that I'm going to live for God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Proverbs 23 and 23, I quoted it. Buy the truth and sell it not. Truth, like anything valuable, will cost you something. Hallelujah. What God is saying is, if you want the kingdom of heaven, you're going to have to put up or shut up. Amen. 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 I would love to have that sports car someday. Well, then make it happen. You're going to have to buy it. You're going to have to sacrifice something in order to get it. It all depends on what the priorities are in your life. Amen. Would you turn to Matthew, the 10th chapter, please? Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 32, Jesus is saying, these are the conditions of discipleship from the mouth of God. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. The price that most of us pay is the price of separation from sometimes loved ones. But God is saying, you know what? If you make this commitment to me, you're going to see me dealing with those loved ones. But I'll tell you what, there's going to be a whole lot of people who are going to come against you because you want to buy all the truth, not just some of the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, what do you think that's for? And follow after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive the prophet's reward, and he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. I got a text from Brother East yesterday, and we sent him, this church sent him, this church gave, because of his situation with hip surgery, $2,000. And so there were people who felt the need in order to help him, and he sent me a text thanking me and thanking every one of you. But you know what it says here? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. In other words, because we give to the man of God, we have the same reward that the man of God gets. What an opportunity, you see? And what we're saying is, you know what? I'm sold out to this thing. And the ironic thing is, the more we give, the more God opens the window of heaven and gives to us. I've never seen anybody in a financial dilemma that is faithful in giving, ever. If you ask people, what are the most precious things on earth, what do you think they'll say? I was thinking about that when I put this message together. And I would say, most would say, well, diamonds are you know, a woman's best friend, and they're probably lasting more than anything else. My daughter and son-in-law, the Portmans, are in London right now because of his job. And they went to see the crown jewels in the Tower of, where is it? Tower of London. That's great, because it is in London. my wife and I were there a couple of years ago, and I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, diamonds the size of oranges, you know? I mean, they're huge. And all you can do is look at them. You know, you can't even take pictures of them. And they have guards everywhere making sure that no one's going to stick a few in their pocket. But they would say, that's the most valuable thing. What about rubies or emeralds or sapphires? Gold, the metal that will never tarnish, the metal that is more pliable than any other metal. You can pound on it and flatten it and get it so thin, but it will never break. It's just amazing. As of this morning, it's selling for $1,302 an ounce. But in the Bible, the church is described as both jewels and gold. Malachi 3 and 17 tells us, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." So God looks at us as precious jewels. He really does. And he also looks at us as pure gold. 1 Peter 1 and 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So at the appearing of Jesus Christ, we're going to get a crown that are filled with all kinds of jewels and rubies and emeralds and diamonds. And we're going to be like pure gold, like the Bible says in Revelation 21, transparent as glass, so gorgeous, without any impurities, that you can see right through it. Amen. Now, as precious as jewels and gold are, they both come from the earth. They don't come from heaven. They have no living being. Yes, it takes much effort to find them. You have to dig them out of the ground and process them. Gold has to be refined and all of the impurities taken out before it can be pure gold. And with jewels, they have to be cut and they have to be polished, and there's a real science in order to cut them so you get the value. But pearls come from a living organism, and it always comes because of suffering. God said, the kingdom of God is not like a diamond. It's not like beautiful, transparent gold, but it is like a pearl. Remember, Cain brought his offering from the ground. It was a cursed ground, and God would not accept his offering. But Abel brought his offering, the best of the flock. There was a sacrifice, and there had to be suffering in order for God to accept it. Today, people want to be a part of God's church without any kind of sacrifice, any kind of suffering. We'll just give you something else to take the place. And you know what? God is not responding to that kind of sacrifice. It's not a matter of, I just showed up, everything should be fine, I shouldn't have to change any of my life. Is there anybody who's listening to this? Hallelujah. So why not, when the merchant man found 100-carat diamond, sold everything to buy it? Wasn't like that. I believe that the pearl represents God and his people more than any kind of jewel, any kind of gold. We are produced by a process deep within us that can only happen through trials and irritations in our life. Oh, I hate trials. I hate irritations. This week there were several nights that were sleepless because of some irritation. I said it yesterday morning. I said, you know, I take on the burdens of everybody that's in this church. But when I see so many people showing up wanting to live for God, wanting to pray on Saturday mornings, wanting to worship, it is a greater encouragement to me than anything else. And what does God have to deal with all of the irritations that he's aware of throughout 7 billion people? But when he sees people show up in the house of God on a Sunday morning, Jesus, the pearl of great price, resides deeply within us. And when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we have something within us that is greater than gold, greater than any precious stone. We become the temple or the house of God. And with that in mind, pearls are only found inside an oyster. According to the Illustrated Encyclopedia, an oyster is a hard shell mussel. Its chief value is for the pearl that it contains, but not every oyster has a pearl. It has a constant flow of water through it to survive, and it gets its nourishment by this constant flow of water that comes through it, like we survive by the constant flow of the Holy Ghost that comes through us to give us nourishment. And we survive because we're in the presence of God. Without the presence of God, we will not survive. Hallelujah. There are several sayings about the oyster that I wrote down this morning. For the young, the world is their oyster. It is a source of complete fulfillment, affording every possible chance of personal satisfaction that they possibly could want. A person who keeps their mouth shut when trouble comes is known as an oyster. The oyster even has a color named after it. It's called oyster white. It's kind of a glowing white. Someday, perhaps, we'll put on robes like that. And the most curious thing is that some oysters change sex during the course of their lives. And each and every one of us have, well, at least the men have changed sex when we go into the waters of baptism. We come up a bride of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's not going to be gender when we get to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. But most of all, the oyster produces a thing of beauty, which is called a pearl. If people are of great character, they are referred to as real pearls. Now, the only way the oyster can produce that which is the thing that is famous for, the pearl, is to have an irritating piece of sand within it. Somehow, through the flow of the water that they get the survival with, somehow there comes this little particle that gets deep within them, and rather than trying to dig it out somehow, trying to get rid of it, trying to spit it out somehow, it doesn't have the capabilities of doing that. So within that body, it supplies an excretion that goes over it and over it and over it and over it so it doesn't irritate any longer. And after 3.5 years of this process, it becomes this beautiful pearl. Within the body of Jesus, the shell, if you will, we have to be exposed to suffering to produce the pearl of great price. And instead of trying to dig out the irritation that happens to everybody, let the Holy Ghost flow and flow and flow and flow until it creates something that is so beautiful. Hallelujah. And then he strings them all together into a beautiful congregation of goodly pearls. What produces the pearl that gives us the kingdom You see, when an irritant, such as a grain of sand, becomes trapped in the shell of an oyster, the oyster gradually puts those layers over and over. You need to bring it back home because offenses will come. You know what? I do not want to be a referee between saints in the congregation because somebody is offended. You know? Turn to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, please. Verse number 1, it says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And if then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbeliever. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? God's saying, why don't you let it alone? So what if you're defrauded? You know what? There is a process that I have. The Holy Ghost keeps covering it up and covering it up and covering it up. And all of a sudden you have some value in you that you've never had before. Nay, you do wrong and defraud and that your brother. We're talking about the church. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of... You're not going to get the pearl, folks. And such were some of you. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. Such were some of us. But ye are washed. But you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It's the flowing and it's the covering of the irritants. More people leave the church simply because, there's been an irritant. They've been offended by something somebody says. And I am convinced that every time I stand up in this pulpit, I am somewhat an irritant to somebody. It's true. Do you know why? Because I represent this. And not everybody wants. The position, according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, of a pastor is for the perfecting of the saints. But what I didn't know 25 years ago is not everybody wants to be perfect. You know? So we're going to have some offenses. Are you kidding? Hello. What produced the pearl of great price that we can buy, was 3.5 years of Jesus covering it up for 3.5 years in his ministry. The same length of time a pearl is in the oyster. People disappointing him. People calling him the son of fornication, a wine bibber. John the Baptist questioning, are you really God? Peter denying him. The agony of prayer in the garden, the agony of the trial, the crown of thorns, the slaps in his face, the 40 stripes that he took, carrying the cross, his own cross, to Golgotha, and the nails that pierced his hands and his feet, layer upon layer upon layer. Until he became that goodly pearl of great price. It cost him something to be our Savior. All produced the pearl of great price. Take a look at Romans, the 8th chapter, if you will. Romans 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what? So what? We've all been offended. We've all been irritated. The question is, are you going to allow God to cover it up and let the flow of the Holy Ghost keep going and making something beautiful out of our lives? It's not a matter of will that happen to you. It's a matter of when will it happen to you and how do you respond to it? Amen. Glory to God. We can turn a sandstorm into pearls, folks. Hallelujah. This whole church has been attacked from time to time, and it's produced some wonderful things. You know, I could be happy if. Those are the words that I hear a lot. I could be happy if. We're putting conditions on happiness when all we need to do is buy the pearl of great price, and we will be content and we will be happy. But we have this idea of what is going to make us happy. Most not yet happy people have these if-onlys at the end of their sentence. If I only had more money, if I only had a better place to live, if I only felt better, if I only had a better spouse. Reduce the number of troubles, reduce the number of frustrations, reduce the agony that I go through on a daily basis, and then life will become beautiful. What they don't understand is if all of the problems went away and you still didn't make a purchase of the pearl of great price, you still won't be satisfied, you still won't be happy. Without the irritations of life, there can never be any pearls. There can never be any real value to any one of our lives. Trials, both small and great, produce both love for life and love for people. One man tried to escape all of his pressures of life and joined a monastery. And in the monastery, they could only speak two words every 5 years. So really contemplating, what are going to be my words at the end of 5 years, you know? And so his words were, bad food. At the end of 10 years, he said, hard bed. At the end of 15 years, he said, I quit. The head monk said, I'm not surprised. Ever since he came, he's just been complaining. Hallelujah. Pastor, do we have to? How much do you love me? Our love is tested every day by some of the things that we come up against, and some of the most difficult things are, well, that person sitting next to you. Because, you know, we know each other so well. Trials, hardships, and hurts are sandstorms. They can make you bitter or they can make you better. God intends them to produce something valuable within us. Amen. And he can cover it all. Amen. He can smooth it over. What good can come out of financial trouble? Having been abused by a spouse. What good can come out of a serious illness? And why do I have to keep going through this year after year? The most beautiful and precious pearls are produced after many layers of secretion to eliminate the hurt. I'm not saying that there isn't hurt. I'm not saying there isn't trouble. But in many cases, nothing can help you except a steady flow of the Holy Ghost covering it over and over. I have a saying that nobody can offend me or hurt me without my permission. You know, I consider the source, where it's coming from, and as long as I have clean hands before God, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. You see? We get in trouble because we want everybody to love us, and folks, that ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know? I'm wearing a white shirt. Somebody else thinks, why don't you wear a blue shirt? You know? I dress different than somebody else. It doesn't matter. Those things aren't important. What really is important is I got the pearl, and that's all that counts. I'm on my way to heaven, and I am so glad. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for going through all of what you did that I might have the pearl of great price. All of what he suffered, not only while he was on earth, but he sees everything. Thank God you can't see everything. Thank God you can't read anybody's mind. Thank God I don't have Facebook. Every day I log into my faith book. And I got pictures. I got pictures to prove it. Oh! And I see me in there. Glory to God. You see, after the trial and the hurts, what happens is our self-worth increases. Our ability to give and receive love increases because of what we went through. You know? Hallelujah. I remember a lady who was sitting in the congregation this morning, saying to me many years ago after her husband died of a heart attack, you know, and somebody at a picnic came up to her and said, I believe in a higher power. And she's a very meek and quiet lady, and something rose up inside of her and said, that higher power is Jesus Christ. And she thought, whoa, where did that happen? But she said, you know what? I've gone through the worst hurt there is in my life. And now I'm not afraid to come against anything in my life. You see? It's a process, church. I'm still in the process. Even after all of these years, I'm still in the process. When somebody leaves, I still hurt. Not because they're just some empty pews or because there's less finance. It's because I have invested in the lives of people. And when they simply say, adios, I don't care, it still hurts. And that's how Jesus feels when we walk away from the church. He's invested. He suffered. He died. Hallelujah. Would you turn to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter? I only have 2 more hours. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Okay, now let's get this mindset. Don't think it's strange that it happened to you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Come on, bring on the trials. Come on, bring on the hurt, because I want to rejoice one day. Hallelujah. Back in the 40s and maybe halfway through the 50s, there was a great demand for deep sea pearls. But they were very hard to get. Most oysters didn't contain a pearl, and it was very risky for divers to go deep enough in order to get the oysters, and then they bring them up and open them up and hoping they find maybe one or two pearls. And if you found one of exceptional size or color, I mean, it could take care of you for the rest of your life. And so they couldn't find as many as there was demand, so they produced cultured pearls or fake pearls. Not fake in the sense that it wasn't produced by an oyster, but by inserting a foreign body or piece of sand into an oyster and then putting them into a holding pond where they could just get a hold of them. And they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that every oyster is going to have a pearl and there would be no risk of life. There wouldn't even be a whole lot of cost in order to get the pearls. These man-made artificial pearls were easily gotten, and they didn't have the luster that the real thing had. They didn't go deep enough to get the real thing. It was just kind of a surface pearl. It was kind of a man-made. And then as soon as that came on the market and people realized that, well, this just wasn't worth it, the price plummeted. Today, there's little demand for pearls because no one risks their life for them anymore. And anyone can buy them much less than the real thing. Today's religion is like that. It doesn't cost much to find the kingdom of God these days. You can find a preacher who will shake your hand or pronounce you saved. Just accept the Lord as your Savior. No conforming to the Word of God or to the image of God. You don't have to lay down your life in order to receive a pearl of great price. People will not sacrifice much in order to get something that man made. But when you walk into some place that you know is saturated with the supernatural flow of the Spirit of God, people will give up their life for that. It's the real deal. Hallelujah. I'm glad God is in the pearl business. He is making great pearls, pearls of great price, and He is still producing real pearls, not cultured pearls, but the real deal. You have to go deep sometimes in order to really get a hold of them. Together we string from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth, and God displays them like He displayed Job, who kept his integrity all through the trials of his life, and God bragged on him. You know, some people have diamonds and some people have real pearls, and they may display them, but our God displays the church of the living God. He said to Satan, "Have you considered my man Job, how there's no one like him?" Glory to God. Hallelujah. I've read Revelation 21 so many times, you know, in all these Bible studies that I've taught over the years. It's the complete description of heaven. If you didn't know it, God has a room-by-room description of heaven, the materials, the building materials of jewels and gold and transparent glass. And He uses this stuff as building material. But this week I saw something for the first time that I had really never considered, and it was the importance of the gate of pearl. I thought, my, that's incredible. He has all of the resources to make a gate out of a diamond or a ruby or an emerald, or He could just make it out of pure transparent gold. But He said, no, I'm going to make it out of a pearl. Revelation 21 and 21 says, "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gates was one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." So every gate is one enormous pearl that one day, folks, we're going to walk through. And don't think it's by coincidence that God made the entrance into heaven out of a pearl that could only be there because of an irritation that was in the church, in you. And God kept covering it and covering it with His Spirit. Hallelujah. Layer upon layer upon layer of what he felt over the years by the church that he died for, the disappointments and the irritations that perhaps I produced in his life, layer upon layer covering that which hurt him so much. Perhaps one for every one of his apostles. And as I arrive at the city, I tell you what, I'm going to pay special attention at the gate before I rush into heaven, because I recognize how much he endured for me. So how much can I endure those little irritations so I can stay in the church and obtain a goodly pearl of great price? Stop at the gate and look at the pearl. Would you stand with me, please?